Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Our scripture this morning comes from Mark's gospel. It's the beginning of his gospel. He gallops into the story of Jesus the Christ. Listen for these words from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Rachel and I had the opportunity to be with our boys over Thanksgiving holiday at Folly Beach, just a little southeast of, or southwest of Charleston. We cooked and we ate. We hiked the beach. We hunted for shells. We played a Canadian board game called Crokinole. What a fun game that was. And we watched three movies. We watched a movie about Irish silkies, another about a music lover who loved old jazz in Brooklyn, and we watched about a movie about fishermen in Cornwall. Great collection of films. Ask me later for the specific titles. I'll be glad to share them with you. Very good films. On the way home, driving through snow, it was almost a 16-hour drive straight through, I noticed on the interstate highways, on the shoulders of the road, cutting through the mountain passes, chain link fences, big chain link, strong chain link fences standing on the side of the road. Their job was to catch the falling rock from the mountain, the small boulders and the rock, to keep them from rolling into the road. If there had been a real rock slide, they would not have held, of course, and the rock would have gone across the road, but they had caught many boulders and many rocks. You could see them on either side of the road. I felt a little safer making these highway passes with those fences standing guard for us. There's no one standing guard at the edges of Mark's gospel. You know, I think of adults standing by the side of the road, keeping children from running from the playground into the street. Well, there's nobody like that on the sidelines of Mark's gospel, keeping us from being swept up in the story of Jesus the Christ. Mark tugs us immediately into the center of the fray, into a dangerous crowd by the River Jordan. "I've got good news, hurry up, I've got good news." Urgently, he's off, and we have to walk quickly to keep up. "Good news, keep up, I've got good news, hurry." That's the way Mark's gospel begins. The first sentence isn't even a sentence. He forgets the verb. He just wants to invite us in, and there we go. John the Baptist is dressed like a madman, some kind of crazy prophet, and we're pulled to the edge of the crowd. He's baptizing people in the Jordan, and he's talking about the one who's coming after him, the one for whom he's preparing the way, Jesus. This Jesus is great. You think I'm great? Well, this Jesus is really great. I'm not even worthy to bend down and untie his tennis shoes. We know this is a dangerous place. Look around you. Look at this crowd. None of them, or not all of them, are our people. And you know what I mean by that. They're not our people. You know how dangerous this place is. And this place, momentous things have happened on the edge of the Jordan River. Momentous things indeed. Jesus will be baptized here in just a few verses. The heavens will be ripped open. Mark does not forget that verb. Ripped open. That's the verb he chooses. The heavens will be ripped open, and God will pronounce his blessing upon his son. If you're looking to get out of this, if you think this story is going to sweep you in, it's going to be too disruptive for your life, I don't blame you for stepping away. Not one bit. Why is disruption part and parcel of our lives? Why are there times, as Ecclesiastes would say, why are there times for tearing and for war and for weeping? How can this be part of God's will and way for God's creation? And yet, disruption is something that God uses, even intends for us, and it's readily documented in Scripture. Look at where you're standing, at the edge of this crowd, at the back of this crowd, leaning in a little bit. Listen to the water, that tranquil trickle of the Jordan River, but don't let that fool you. The Jordan is a common site for disruption in Scripture. In the Old Testament, Joshua crossed it from the travail and the worry of Pharaoh's hand. He crosses the River Jordan at the end of that long wilderness wandering into the promised land, into God's reign, into a new way of living and breathing. Elisha picks up the mantle of Elisha, and Elijah hits that water. The Jordan parts in two, and Elisha walks across on dry ground. Leadership changes happen at the Jordan, and leadership change always frightens us. It's always a mark of disruption. Naaman is washed in the River Jordan, and his leprosy is carried away downstream. And in Hosea, the Jordan becomes a doorway into the valley of trouble. Look at where you're standing. There's no comfort in this place. I know you want to find comfort, but you're in the wrong place for that. You're on the edge of the Jordan River. John the Baptist is preaching a gospel of repentance. Jesus is coming, and you're not going to find comfort. If we follow John's Jesus, we know it's going to be a great journey. It's going to be a great journey, but there will be dangers along the way. We know this. We know this, that if we associate with this man, this wild prophet, this son of God, there will be dangers along the way. Jesus will be baptized, for example, and he will be led immediately by the Spirit, hurried by the Spirit into the wilderness of temptation. He will not be escorted out to a wine and cheese reception. If we are faithful disciples, we will be with Jesus, not with the power mongers testing the Brie and the Zinfandel. John's head is going to end up on a platter. We know this. Jesus is going to end up on a hill outside of Jerusalem. We know this too. Follow this Jesus and expect your comfortable life to be disrupted. Nobody is standing at the side of Mark's gospel, keeping us safe, keeping us from tumbling in the torrent. Disruption. You know what I mean. Look at where you're standing. Right now, look at where you're standing or sitting with your swollen legs propped up. Look at where you're standing. The doctors are saying things about your miraculous body that you don't want to hear. You're slowing down. You're facing challenges that frighten you. Look at where you're standing. Look at with whom you are standing. Disruption. You know all about it. You know all about it. Some of us are growing up, and that's an exciting thing. Growing up is really an exciting thing. But growing up always means change. And sometimes change means a feeling of uneasiness. It means anxiety. Not all the time, but sometimes. Leaving home is an exciting, wonderful thing to do as you're growing up. That's a good thing. But leaving home can also carry with it a little worry, a little worry. We are growing older. Some of us are just plain growing old. And we can't keep up. We can't keep up with the change. The road is dangerous. Temptations lie like traps. We hear wolves off in the distance howling. Jesus loves us, loves us, loves us, loves us. Jesus loves us, but he keeps calling us to follow him in the way of sacrifice. Sacrifice. That's a word we don't even want to talk about. Our me-first culture avoids the very ideal of service, much like its, or much less its twin, sacrifice. Look at where you're standing. We are being tested right now, tested and tried and changed and made brand new. This is exciting, but the scars remain, and the road is not certain. We cannot see around the corner, though we are walking with the Christ. We cannot see around the corner. Disruption. Disruption. We've had enough of disruption lately, haven't we? It's easy to understand why we want calm and quiet and rest, just for a while. I understand, and I want it too. But more often than not, God, it seems, has something else in mind for us. Things like growth, which always means change. Change is the big C word, right? Cancer is one of those words for sure, but change is another. Why can't things stay the same? Why can't things stay the same? I don't know why things can't stay the same, only that things can't stay the same. Scripture is replete with examples of this and bears witness all the time to God's constant transforming work in our lives. God does not change, thanks be to God, but we are always changing before God, with God, being molded by the great potter, and we are the clay. And John the Baptist, he's begging us. John the Baptist is begging us to notice. He wants us to see it, and to do so requires what? It requires change. Repent, he says. That word simply means turn. We can't even sit still. We're being asked all the time to turn. Turn, John says. Turn, and soon. That's a pretty dangerous word, turn. Repent. But soon Jesus will utter the most dangerous word of all. Follow. Oh, it's exciting. And it's good news. Don't be put off. It's good news. But it carries with it a level of fright and danger and disruption. See, I am doing a new thing, the prophet says. Can you not perceive it? And sometimes, yes, we can perceive it. This is a God thing, and it's exciting, and I'm ready to go. But other times, we don't perceive it. We see it only in the looking back years from now. Sometimes we don't see it, but we can trust it. God is constantly up to something, and God is doing a new thing. It's Isaiah 43, by the way. I am doing a new thing. Can you not perceive it? God uses disruption to lead us into our promised lands. We gather at the Jordan, not so much to catch a glimpse of John the Baptist, though he's quite a sight to see. We gather at the Jordan to catch a glimpse of the new life he keeps talking about, of this one who is coming. We gather to catch a glimpse of him, not John, but of Jesus. We gather not to watch either. We gather to walk, to turn, to crane our necks, to change, to repent. We gather to begin our exodus from the old life to the new life God is working out in our flesh and bones. If you want an easy rest, and I understand if you do, if you want an easy rest, you have come to the wrong place. Look at where you're standing, at the edge of the crowd with John the Baptist by the River Jordan. It's not the place for you if you've come for rest, an easy rest. But if you want hope, if you want light, if you want life, if you want justice, if you want peace, the peace Jip talked about, the peace of God that passes all understanding, then you are indeed, we are indeed in the right place. We've come to the right place. Lean in, listen up. Look, John the Baptist says. Look, Jesus the Christ, God's Son, is coming to walk with us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.